Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Lenzing AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mr. Peter Untersberger, CEO of Lenzing. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Florian Wirtz, Thomas Winkler, and Peter Untersberger speaking. Happy to have you on the phone. We are going to present you the first three quarter results. If I start, I think, with the first page three, with the most important part, then I would do it by confirming the guidance for the full year. We had a pretty good quarter as expected, as we told you on the last forecast and on the last call in August. Maybe just moving to the third quarter, sales of 516 million with an EBITDA of 115 million. Of course, also as expected, a little bit lower than the really extraordinary second quarter, driven by still a very good demand for fibers, particularly for specialties, keeping and retaining high prices. As you have seen, maybe tensile prices even improved on second quarter, which even we did not expect, and particularly the very stable demand for nonwovens is smoothing our normal viscose prices, which, as you have seen, came down quite significantly, but that all driven by a 38% specialty ratio on modal and tensile could offset weaker viscose prices. On the background that on a balance sheet of 2.2 billion, we just have 150 million of net debt, which is less than 10% of our balance sheet and is a gearing of just 15%. I think this is also an extraordinary development from the end of the second quarter to the third quarter. Thomas will explain in detail there are some reasons why it is so low. Just moving now to the outlook of the fourth quarter. As you surely most of you follow viscose prices in China and pulp prices, you have seen that we had a very significant upturn in August, September, and going even into October, which resulted in that figures I just told you. However, on the normal standard viscose prices, we see quite a softening now, but modal prices and tensile prices keep quite high, can retain their supremacy price levels as we always have seen, same as in 2008 and 2009. There is no reason to get afraid of much lower prices on modal and tensile. We are running all our operations full, some operations more than 100%. Our stock levels are pretty low. We had extremely low level by end of September and again, even by end of October. We see significant volume coming out of our line in China, which started slowly in third quarter and is now almost on full nameplate capacity with a very good quality. Whereas some Chinese are now have to reduce production on the low and commodity side, we are running on full speed. Particularly, which is contributing very well to the cost side, Baskov is running well. The transfer and the transformation from the paper pulp to the viscose side is going on very well. You see that even above our expectations, almost 50,000-60,000 tons of viscose pulp is coming out of the plant beside the paper pulp operation. All our business initiatives we have set in the last 12 months or 24 months are fully on track. all programs on CapEx, with one exception of India, is on track, and there is no reason, even if we see some cooling off in U.S. or in Europe, but we are not expecting a kind of global recession, and therefore we are taking all kind of business opportunities, particularly in such volatile times we see right now, and chances on the market. I'm moving to page four. Just to I'm not going now to explain the macro, but just to tell you, as more than 50%, almost 55% of our sales are in Asia, how the biggest market is doing, and you are following also, of course, the macro data, but very important is that inflation in China is coming down. We may see it from 5.5%, maybe for the next 3 months, coming down to 4.5%. Retail is still very, very strong, which is driven by the program by the government in Beijing to boost local consumption, and that you see is a very, very steady all over the year, 17%-18%. And even the output is continuing to grow at a substantial level between 13%-15%, and that on the background of a quite very low money supply. And that's the more significant because, as we see it also, a lot of our customers are investing in ring spinning and air jet spinning. So we see that the soft landing in China is working, maybe a little bit tougher than in 2009. China may not be able to offset the world recession, but we don't see that. So any kind of recessionary tendencies in Europe, China, India, and Indonesia can offset. And, all other macro issues usually have on your screen, I don't need to explain. I'm moving to the next page, and this is a very, very important one and optimistic. In August, when we talked about regaining our momentum and our premium on cotton, at that time we have been at 5%, now we are at 10%. We are not yet at that level where we want to be. This is 15% to 20%. You see, even if all the news are full on very high cotton harvests and almost 2 million more than in 2010-11, the cotton price is not moving that much down anymore. It stays at the level of 100 cents. This is a little bit below our structural estimate, as we told you, 120, 130, but we are not going to see a bottom level much below 100. We see for the next couple of months a quite strong volume demand, particularly for our specialties. We are still sold out on Tencel, we are sold out on Modal, and please keep in mind that on Modal we are adding a 40% capacity expansion, and it has been fully taken up within 2 months, and even that is now not sufficient. And even we see a little bit of softening on the standard viscose, in particularly in China, which is also going into Indonesia. We see very good demand for our ring spinning and air jet fibers for Modal and Tencel. And therefore we are optimistic to even regain a higher margin and premium on cotton for the next couple of months. So I'm handing over, I'm moving over now to page six, and there you see, now we're getting to the prices. You see that the average price has come down 20 cents. As expected, this is driven particularly by a quite significant softening on standard viscose, but weathering the decrease by a very stable pricing environment on Tencel and on Modal. And the volume and the turnover in the third quarter was also driven by a significant higher production of 9,000 tons, offset by a lower price. And that's also very, very important because we didn't see such a strong increase in specialties in the last 3 years. You remember we have been on 35%, 34%, and just in the third quarter we managed to get up to 38%. We are not sure whether we can keep this very high ratio, but it is really an outstanding ratio of specialties and smoothing very much our pricing environment. I'm handing over now to Thomas. He will explain you now further details on the prices and the figures.
Thank you, Peter. Well, let me go more into the details and start with the textile fibers, which contributed 71.5% to our Q3 fiber sales of 382 million. As you can see on slide 7, despite a drop of nearly 17% compared to Q2, we saw slightly better than expected viscose textile prices in Q2 due to a solid September. And for those of you who participated in the half-year call, you know that we've guided like for 175, and we ended up with 180. The second important thing you can see on this chart is that tensile prices increased in Q3 due to a better product mix, particularly more so-called A100 fibers. And thirdly, if you look at the bottom left-hand side, you see that with Lenzing Modal, we were able to really sell without any problem the additional volumes that were coming from a shift of a viscose line at the Lenzing side into Modal. This resulted, however, in a slightly more or in a slightly higher proportion of standard Modal and percentage-wise, slightly less volume or lower volume in specialties, particularly FR or flame retardant fibers. Going to the next slide, slide number 8, you see the detailed development of nonwovens. Nonwovens contributed 28.5% to our fiber sales. The higher standard viscose price in comparison with textile viscose fibers, which has not been the case over the last couple of quarters, by the way, proves us right in our obsession about an as balanced portfolio as possible. Many of you said, why aren't we selling only to the textile industry? If we can get higher prices, here you've got the answer. Nonwovens has considerably proven as a stabilizing factor in our business in Q3, and we expect this to continue also into Q4. Lastly, you see the tensile price with a similar development as you saw in textile, increasing by 4.8% compared to 4.5% increase in textiles. Let us have a quick look at slide 9 and a quick look at the relative pricing environment. My most important observation here would be that we continue to prove our price-setting power for our specialties. Peter has mentioned that in his introduction. Modal shows a similar pattern as we've seen in the year 2009 with margins over viscose higher than the usual 40 to 50% range. And that's also something that we have indicated we are pretty confident about. And that is, as you can see in the circled top line graph, 171%, i.e. 71% premium of Modal over viscose. Tensile, unlike in 2009, also was above the usual premium range of 20 to 30% in the textile arena, being 55%, and in the non-wovens arena, which is usually due to broader applications, not as high a premium, with 25%. By the way, if you want to see the details of the year 2009, as well as the premiums in 2008 and 2010, you find them in the backup of your presentation on page 46. Looking at slide 10, we have provided you with a quarterly comparison, particularly comparing Q1 with Q3, as we have always pointed out that Q2 was extraordinarily good. As anticipated and guided by half year, Q3's profitability level was, and in this case, at least on a rounded figure basis, spot on Q1. How could we manage the same EBITDA and EBIT with a 16 million lower revenue? The answer you find at the bottom of this slide, comparing the mix, the fiber mix in Q1 with the fiber mix in Q3 in the pie charts. And here you see that specialties could be increased to 38%, particularly with the boost that we've taken from the Modal and the conversion of the viscose line into Modal at Lansing. The net income level, maybe my last observation on this slide, benefited from the lower tax rate in Q3, coming from a shared benefit from a tax group arrangement, a so-called tax group arrangement with majority shareholder BNC, representing approximately 5 million euros of benefit only on our side. Going to slide 11, we are highlighting a further reduction in net debt from a half-year figure of 170 million down to a nine-month figure of, or a figure at 30th of September, I should rather say, of 150 million. Despite an increase in capex from 40 million in Q2 to 49 million in Q3. The other comforting figure on this slide is our liquidity reserve of roughly 740 million euro, consisting of almost 500 million in cash and around 240 million of unused bilateral signed credit lines with various banks. With this short overview in the financials, I would like to hand over back to Peter to give you the outlook for the fourth quarter and the full year 2011.
Thomas, thanks. I come to page 12, and as I mentioned already in the introduction, we are very happy to confirm the outlook for 2011, particularly also for, of course, including fourth quarter. In quantitative terms, sales approximately 2.1 to 2.2 billion euro, and EBITDA on the higher end of the original range of 440 to 500, now at again 470 to 500 million, EBIT in the range of 360 to 390, and as Thomas has already mentioned, CapEx is the only change, comes down from 15 to 10%. We can give you an outline why that is in more detail. Dividend policy will stay as it is, approximately 25% of net income. On the quantitative level, that is, the outlook is based on more or less same price level as in third quarter for fourth quarter. The lower tax rate, as Thomas mentioned already, is also helping. We see a slightly higher depreciation in the fourth quarter. And, well, I'm sure you will have questions on the lower capex, why that is, but that's contributing, of course, to a higher net cash flow at the end of the day. Okay, that's for the first 50 minutes. So we are quite happy that we could make such good results, and the expectations for fourth quarter, you have seen, are pretty good and constant. Questions, please.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speaker, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the headset before making your selections. So once again, if you wish to ask a question, dial 0 and 1. And if you need to cancel that question, you can dial 0 and 2. One moment, please, for the first question.
Yes, thank you very much, gentlemen, and apologies for any background noise on this line, if there is any. Several questions, if I can. Firstly, I wonder if you could, in light of the drop again in Chinese spot prices, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you see inventories throughout the chain in China, and perhaps try and put some context on it in terms of the seasonality of the garment making process and so on, just to try and help us understand what's what the dynamics are in China at the moment. Secondly, could you talk a little bit, we can get an idea of what's happening to Asian prices, but how do European and US prices or your quarterly set viscose prices look in Q4 versus Q3? I mean, have those pretty much stabilized? And also, can I just ask on the tax rate, you're talking about a 5 million euro benefit in Q3. Is that effectively resetting the 9-month tax rate? So should we take the sort of 21 and a bit rate for the full year? Is that a fair level of guidance, please? Thanks very much.
I think you remember all that, and now it comes to the point that Lansing is producing quality and not commodity. And of course, the commodity guys have to reduce production, have quite high inventory. This is no surprise, and these are all figures you know. They have been in the second quarter almost up to 50 days, now coming down maybe a little bit to 35 to 40 days. Now it's moving up again. They have to take out volume, they have to take out production, and of course these guys who are on the very, very low quality side hurt it the much. And we have not yet the confirmation, but it also leads to a delay in projects. For instance, I can say that we know pretty clear from Shandong Yamei that they are delaying their other two lines into long into 2012. We just have heard that also Danchang is delaying or maybe even canceling its expansion. We see I don't want to name the names of the listed companies, but on the commodity side, it's definitely a big part of production is taking out, and I just can confirm we are running on full speed. Even our third line is, I would say, 90 to 95% of nameplate capacity, and of course on the viscose side we have to adjust prices, but we are normally, as you know, 30 days behind the others, and on Tencel and Modal, we sell.
Maybe let me follow up on this a bit more quantitatively and refer you also to a CCF study that came out yesterday talking about stock levels. And I refer you not to the absolute level because there is not a high transparency on it, but I would refer you to the changes that they observe on the market by really making round calls and going a bit also for anecdotal evidence. At the beginning of August, and remember that was when the viscose spot market price was at approximately 17,800 renminbi, they observed an operating rate of the Chinese plants of round about 64%. And it went all the way up to 83%, which is the absolute maximum that we believe Chinese factories can be run at. And they came out yesterday with an estimate that the utilization now is again down to 70% and probably dropping in the light of the 16,900 renminbi spot market price that we are seeing. And that clearly indicates that their stock must have built up in between because of the high utilization. But the good news is
we also believe that they are reacting much quicker to any change in demand that there is. So you've asked us for the chain. Our expectation is that the textile chain is pretty well filled until Chinese New Year, which this year is pretty early, end of January. And we would not expect a significant change, okay, in the viscose spot market prices in China. As a reminder, let me mention once more that particularly as prices deteriorate, we are able to command a premium. That has something to do with the quality that Peter has mentioned, and that has something to do with the fact that we do monthly pricing in China. This means we've set the November prices in October, and we are going to set the December prices now in November. Second question. How do we see the European and the US prices? Well, again, let me remind you, there's not too much of a European and US textile viscose industry left. We are talking in Europe really about Turkey. And Turkey is usually reacting to what's going on in China with a month to 6 weeks delay. So we expect that prices also in Turkey are going to go the direction of the Chinese prices, simply because this is the only market where we see Chinese export to. In the US, I couldn't answer this question because all the viscose that we are selling really to the US market is for nonwovens applications, and here they compete against other materials and other fibers rather than viscose. So we see less of an impact, and of course, Peter, as you know well, but for completeness sake, we are doing quarterly pricing in Europe and in the US, which of course also helps us to insulate us from volatility. And finally, maybe that's also a question for me, on the tax rate. There won't be a repetition of the 5 million benefit in the fourth quarter, of course. And I think it's a good guidance, and that's the guidance that we are giving, as the final tax rate depends on a plethora of factors, to think that our tax rate should be 20 to 22% for the full year, okay? Which would indicate it's round about where we are in the first 9 months, and we don't see it go back up significantly. But again, there are a number of factors that we have to see in the final results, and the 20 to 22% is a good guidance. I hope this answered your questions.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just two questions, if I may. First question is on what you've already been talking about, referring to the increase in specialty fibers. You mentioned this is mainly due to a reduction in capacity at the Lansing plant in viscose and the, of course, increase in Modal. Could you just give us some indication on you know, the current status of this conversion? Are you ahead of schedule or is it almost done? And I guess the increase in tensile is coming from Heiligenkreuz. That will be the first one. And the second one, a rather technical question, just on a rather exceptionally low other operating expense position. Question here is just, is this a level that we are supposed to see going forward, or is this basically some one-offs in there? Thank you.
Other operating expense. Okay, I'll take that.
I answer the first two questions. Well, I mentioned that we started the Modal line in May, and even to our surprise, we really not only could produce more or can produce more than expected, we also can sell more, and we come from 70,000 tons on a yearly production to, I would say, now at the end of the year, beginning next year, more than 100,000. So we are adding almost 40 to 45% of additional volume, which is not that small, and I only can confirm that it is sold.
And actually, we have to look into the next expansion project on Modal, which is not so easy. But we need definitely more Modal. And you know, by the way, that actually our long-term target is to double Modal capacity from 70 to 140, 150,000. I think that is absolutely on track. On Tencel, on the price, as Thomas already mentioned, of course, flame retardant sales are not moving up that fast as the increase in capacity, and that's the reason why, just for mix reasons, the price is a little bit down, but not because we had to reduce prices. On Tencel, it's just the other way around. We added a little bit more capacity and particularly high quality volume in UK when we did the A100 refurbishment, which almost doubles our A100 capacity in UK, which is primarily goes primarily to the Chinese market. And of course, also since the beginning of the year, when we added another 15,000 tons or 14,000 tons on capacity in Heiligenkreuz on the Austrian operation, so that contributes all over the year to a significant higher Tencel. And in that sense, as segmentation is going on, as supply chain initiatives are very successful, the mix in Tencel is continuously improving.
On the other question, very sharp observation, and for those who haven't had the chance to look this diligently into the material, it's on slide number 17, and you refer on the cost side about a decrease in the other position, which goes, and again I compare Q1 to Q3, for the reasons given, goes from 109 to 88 million. The reason is manifold and not so easy a straightforward answer, because in this other position we have a number of cost factors, particularly for the trading goods, i.e. the standard viscose fiber that we buy from Kelheim. And of course, the standard viscose fiber was also affected by the price decrease, contributing strongly to this drop. And it also includes the costs of Paskov, particularly the wood costs of Paskov. And I think we've already kind of at least hinted you to the fact in August that wood costs in the Czech Republic, which were fairly volatile or fairly buoyant, I should say, at the beginning of the year, were coming down again. And that, of course, also benefited us strongly. Of course, we have a number of other costs included in there, like plastics, where you know, at least from the chemical analyst's point of view, that ACN costs have come down, and others. So it's a plethora of reasons, but I've given you like the three most important ones that make this look a bit unusual, but pretty much in line, hopefully, with what you would expect with this answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. But next, please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have actually two questions. One is a general question regarding the viscose market. With the announced capacity increase in dissolving pulp planned for Q4, the non-integrated players will probably be able to buy raw materials at a much lower price, which will give them some room to reduce prices for the final product. Do you see this development having a substantial impact for the viscose market for 2012? And the second question is, the International Cotton Advisory Committee suggests that cotton imports into China will rise to 3.3 million tons from 2.7 million tons. In the year ending in July, do you think part of this increased supply available in China can be due to some substitution from viscose into cotton? Thank you.
Okay.
Well, may I start with the second one? That's a good question, on the assumption that the Chinese figures are always right and correct, which we have doubt very strongly. Your assumption is correct. Yes, you always have to count 500,000 tons up and down.
Okay, thank you.
And I think the 500,000 tons up and down, that's too early to say whether it really may have an effect. There is right today a Bloomberg announcement that actually the lower consumption of cotton fibers in China may boost very much cellulose fibers because Chinese spinners and weavers are pissed off of the volatility of the cotton, may just contribute to the other side. So we may not know that, and we may not see any effect until the mid of the year. First question. Well, of course, the theoretically quite big and significant increase in dissolving pulp should help the non-integrated. That's the reason, by the way, why we are also buying on the spot market, and we get quite good prices on that. But please be aware that particularly when prices are coming down now, and you're also following spot prices in China, I'm expecting personally that there will be cancellations of quite a number of projects we may see in the next 12 months in China, in the US, in Europe. If we have a list of 20, or we say we have a list of 20 conversions, I would say at least 5-6 projects will not come through. So we will see also only in 12 months what the effect will be, whether that's really we are really seeing this significant increase in dissolving pulp, and whether all these volumes come at the time announced or to be expected on the market. I have my doubt.
Yeah, maybe as a follow-up, let me give you also some quantitative view on this one. Today's dissolving wood pulp spot prices are $1,200, which is much lower than we've seen. But if you compare this to the $1,400 of dissolving wood pulp in the third quarter, you end up with approximately the same drop in dissolving wood pulp as we've seen in viscose fiber prices, which means the profitability really of our competitors because of the drop in prices is not improving, and we believe given their conversion rate, i.e. the costs that they incur in over and above wood pulp, they should still make hardly any money in China if they serve themselves exclusively from the spot market.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. A couple of questions. First of all, on your level of backward integration, you've mentioned that Peskov is likely to supply some 50 to 60,000 tons of dissolving pulp this year and potentially 115,000 tons of dissolving pulp in 2012. I'm wondering what the total number of internal supplies is this year and what you expect in terms of total internal supplies of dissolving pulp for 2012. That would be my first question. Secondly, if you could maybe remind us just roughly what the cost in per ton is for your internal supplies. Finally, my last question is the minority interest in the third quarter has been relatively low, much lower against the previous quarters and also much lower than what I was expecting. I'm wondering, are there any one-off effects included, or is this a what is the reason for it, please?
Yeah. Let me start with the second question. Again, very sharp observation, very detailed observation. This line that you're referring to, the minority shareholders' stake in the profits, is made up by SPV and Puffkov. And the important one is that, and that's an open secret, with Paskov having had fairly high wood costs and dropping paper pulp prices, Paskov is making a loss in the third quarter and has not been profitable also in the second quarter. And that needs to be taken against a fairly solid profitability on the SPV side. Okay? On the backward integration side, I give you the numbers and maybe Peter gives you the view on it. You're right. We are expecting approximately 100,000 tons more of fiber production. And of course, 60,000 tons more in own supply helps us to not get burnt or exposed to the open dissolving wood pulp market. Just as a reminder for everyone, the difference between 55 and 115,000 tons of lean A dissolving wood pulp is 60,000 tons, and we are planning to increase from roughly 710 to 720,000 tons to 810 to 820,000 tons of sold fiber next year.
Coming back to the question you had on the total volume of internal supply, and this is, as Thomas mentioned, 50 to 60,000, take a medium number of 55,000 from Paskov, and I take now the question as I answered the question as I took it from you, including Lansing, which is somewhat 280,000 tons of volume, which is available, of course, for the Lansing site. Is that did you mean this kind of question, including Lansing?
Yes, it was including the existing production of dissolving pulp at Lansing.
Yeah. Okay.
So the question would be, follow-up on this one is, how much do you expect to come out in total of Lansing? Because I believe you did some deep bottlenecking on the pulp mill in Lansing. So what would be the total amount of internal supplies next year, according to your...
For next year, we are not yet embarking on a big capacity increase in Lansing that we have delayed for one other year because we have so many projects. And we are going to maybe increase capacity first in Paskov and then in Lansing. But including, I'm talking just now on viscose part, that means then 115,000 tons in Paskov and about 290,000 tons in Lansing. So you have a total volume of 405,000 tons. And as soon as then in 2013 we have the switch over, 100% switch over in Paskov to 240,000 tons and let's say, to make the numbers round, 300,000 tons in Lansing, then you have 540,000 tons all over dissolving pulp capacity.
Okay, and maybe so, another follow-up on this question. So when you say around about 400,000 tons of internal supplies next year, I mean, this, am I right to assume that this implies that your level of backward integration will already go up to 50% in 2012 vis-a-vis a rate of 40% that you have been having very recently? So this should be beneficial for your input cost, shouldn't it?
Yes, it depends. It depends very much at the end of the day, as Mr. Lopez just mentioned before, on the cost of the dissolving pulp on the market. But generally, you are right. And if you go on, is this a paper?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you go on page 68, you see a backup chart. Vertical integration right now is on 42%. I would not go down now to tell you exactly up to the last figure what it is really the final integration, but it you are right, it will be at around approximately 40%. And I think what's very important, Thomas mentioned that wood costs are coming down
in the Czech Republic, in Baskov. We expect that we can remain at this level also in 2012, and particularly with productivity gains, with even higher efficiency gains and on the energy integration in Lansing, with a little bit higher volume, which is cutting fixed costs, we could remain, particularly in Lansing, very, very competitive if we compare that. We're following, of course, for instance, Settery. Costs have increased very much on all other sites. Wood costs are going up. Even if we are in Central Europe, we have particularly in Lansing extremely good costs. That means on the low side.
I mean, for the avoidance of misunderstanding, okay, I think what we are saying, bottom line, is on the conservative side, don't expect that our integration ratio is going down and therefore we will have increased costs, but rather say that our integration level is approximately going to be pretty flattish and we can offset our growth, okay, by the further integration of Paskov and the 115 odd thousand tons, okay?
Okay. But it still leaves me a little bit of confusion here. You just mentioned that your internal supplies will be 400,000 tons next year. If we add the 400,000 tons of supplies that you have under the long-term on the long-term contracts, which we all know what it is, means that essentially you are most likely not do not have to buy from the spot market, which is the most expensive source anyway. So. Can you maybe clarify on this view, please?
Yeah, you've got to be careful. I would like to remind you that we are also providing pulp to external partners, particularly the one where we have the trading goods from in Kelheim. Okay, and the other one is if you did the same calculation for this year, you would end up that we wouldn't have to buy anything on the open market. Fact of the matter is that SAP is up to 400,000 tons of pulp.
Okay,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this also fluctuates.
Okay.
So don't get too carried away, and we don't want to mislead you into a direction we have a cost advantage next year. So overall, we think that, yes, we are getting closer to the 50% backward integration, but it's not so far away this year that it would make all too much of a significant difference. But at the same time, don't worry about us expanding and having to buy more expensive dissolving wood pulp from the open market. Okay?
All right. That's clear. Thank you.
Thank you. As a final reminder, press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for the presentation. I have a quick question, but I'm not sure whether it has already been somewhere in the presentation and I missed it. When I look at the fourth quarter, is it correct that that you expect roughly stable sales prices when compared to the third quarter for non-wovens and textile, or did I miss anything or have a wrong interpretation on that?
Well, you are absolutely right. That is our expectation, and that's driven by, you have to see that we had a quite volatile third quarter. So ending with quite good prices in the end of September region does not mean that these prices we had all over the third quarter. And so this is a mixture of starting at a quite low basis I'm talking on standard viscose, on the basis of lower prices in July, ending on a higher end, and now we are just seeing the reverse, starting on a relatively high pricing environment in October, and now we see lower prices in viscose, and at the same time, as it was in the third quarter, stable specialty prices.
Yeah. So just to complete the guidance on this one, so we see a reverse mirror image of the third quarter in the fourth quarter, and we expect a sales volume of approximately 188,000 to 190,000 tons for the fourth quarter, which gives you a slightly improved top line.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions. I now hand back over to Mr. Peter Untersberger.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if there are no further questions, I really appreciate your attendance and your excellent questions, and looking forward to hear from you at the next conference, which will be very likely in
end of March.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.